I said it last week. I said he goes left and right at the same time. He does. Like, he did. Kudos doesn't know. It's like, there's three of them. Which one should I go for? The one in the middle? He's not in the middle anymore. He's away.
Tim Sherwood here. You're listening to the Villa podcast.
A point from the jaws of sure death. Health from the rumblings of sure projectile vomiting. Feel good factors above all the sure groans. And not just from outside your apartment in the city centre, Liam. I know they were coming from you. I know they were coming from the Aston Villa fanbase. But maybe some days you got to just take the point against a top seven team on the road and move on. Maybe on St. Patrick's Day, this is what they call the luck of the Irish. Maybe we deserved it. Or, stay with me, maybe you just can throw the ball into the net with your hand.
Yeah, it was really looking for a very long time that this was going to be a justification of David Moyes' life work. I mean, like, you know, this was his masterpiece, his pièce de résistance. And it's straight out of the fucking Marcel Duchamp school. Absolute bollocks. Like, at home, less than half of the possession of your opponents, three good crosses, one goal. Like, his players touch the ball more with their hands than their fucking feet. And people were talking there recently about West Ham United fans having ideas above their stations. And they're right, obviously. They do have ideas above their stations. And I'm certainly not one to want to defend that fan base. But I can see why they're annoyed. I mean, watching football, it's a passion, but it's also a pastime. It has to be enjoyable. Like David Moyes came out swinging there a few weeks back, admitting that, you know, previous managers might have played nicer football, but they haven't won as many games as him. And I was thinking, yeah, fair play, David. But then I saw them play up close and fucking personal. Like, I had just assumed that a team that had Alvarez, Suchek, Bowen, Paqueta, Kudus was playing some sort of football. Like, I know who David Moyes is, so I wasn't expecting total football or anything, but I was expecting a bit more than total submission. Like, there has to be something in between what he thinks is winning and what football is supposed to be. Like, it's unbelievable. All he has to do is win a bit more than previous West Ham managers. That's not a high bar. Like, West Ham didn't have the ball between the 45th and 85th minute. They had just conceded. And David Moyes responds by bringing on two set-piece experts. I mean, that does a better job of identifying who David Moyes is than his fucking passport.
I mean, you know I root for David Moyes. You know I rep him. I'm keeping a keen interest in this man's career and this man's redemption arc as well. And it's not finished yet, but there is something to be said about the fact that West Ham are way further down the road than we are. West Ham have won the European competition that we're just thrilled to be in. West Ham qualified through the league a few years ago into the Europa League. We haven't done that yet. Like, West Ham are very much standing still. It's not about being spoiled or knowing your place or anything like that. It's about when you get the opportunity, can you push on? Club like West Ham can be, they should be, and they see other clubs making moves, playing good football, enjoying themselves. They see all their fans. We've talked about this before. When managers come in to play some football, it works. It's enjoyable and it works. And they can see that happening. They're not living in a West Ham, excuse the pun, bubble. They can see all their football matches as well. And they know that they can be better out there. And they know as well that they can miss their chance to push on, because we even feel it now. We're in the top four and we feel, oh, geez, like, United are way down the league. Chelsea are way down the league. Newcastle are way down the league. Does that happen every season? It doesn't, but I know there's always somebody who drops out. But when they do, you have to take your chance. And West Ham don't ever seem to want to take their chance.
Well, they don't want to take their chance to play football. They're giving fucking 50 attempts at it every season, but they never seem to take that chance. And David Moyes has been incredibly successful at West Ham, and that should be lauded, but it should be stopped. Like, the praise should be curtailed, because it was all right to set the team up like this to move them up the table when you're in the relegation battle, But, like, you know, whatever, you're right, they're further down the track. They're 5 years into this, and he still hasn't a fucking iota of an idea of how to play the game of football that's in any way enjoyable for anybody other than him.
Yeah, I mean, we all really enjoyed it at Villa Park when Villa hammered him and Moyes came out. Maybe this is why I'm rooting for him. Moyes came out afterwards and said, I hope Aston Villa don't take this as an insult, but they are just below the Champions League teams. Basically, they're better than us. It was the point that he was making. And there's no reason why we should be. We haven't really got to spend all that much in recent seasons. We have a manager who's very fresh in the door, having to work with what he has. We have a lot of injuries. There's no reason why David Moyes should be, like you say, submitting so easily to Aston Villa and just giving up any idea that they can compete with them. And, like, well, let's get into this match, because they took the lead. It was a cross. Of course it was a cross, and it was a Soufal cross, and it got whipped in. And the only thing that made this more annoying is that I was listening to it on radio before I got to watch the match, and the Irish commentator, happy St. Patrick's Day, kept saying, Q foul. And it was infuriating, because it was annoying anyway that Aston Villa had conceded. But now I was listening to Q foul swinging in a ball into Antonio at the back post. I don't know if I can blame Torres for this. I know we want to just go through now and look at everybody to blame. I'm still not sure what...
I've been on this podcast before, Liam. I know what we're going to do.
I'm not sure what Longley was doing. I'm not happy that Konsa was at the other side of Antonio. But I don't know if it was his job to be inside Antonio. Was that Longley's? Because there was Torres and Longley in between Antonio and Konsa. So I don't know if Konsa should have shifted inside Antonio, because then there would have been a big space. Like, all our defenders now would have been inside rather than keeping an eye on the back post.
Yeah, the annoying thing from our perspective is that Torres reads the cross perfectly, but the cross is perfect, so Torres' position is fucking irrelevant. I mean, if he was 10 foot tall, that ball would have smacked him right in the face. But he's not. But he's not, and he would have been better off staying in line and hoping Antonio gets himself offside. I mean, surely that lad's fucking deltoids are offside as soon as he steps onto the pitch. And and despite just praising his physique, it's not strong enough from Konsa at the back. I mean, we're playing a centre half at right back. Where are the rewards for that? He shouldn't be being bullied by Antonio quite so easily. But you're right to ask the question, where is Longley? Because I don't know. I don't know where he is. I've looked at the replay. The only two people who are noticeable is Torres and Konsa at the back. But it was just a few minutes before this goal, and the commentator said, Soufal has never scored for West Ham. It was just after he had that spank, and I was thinking, well, lucky him that he's playing against Aston Villa. We're exactly the type of mugs that will break that fucking duck for him, and he's exactly the type of cunt that will score against us. I mean, I wasn't exactly right, but I wasn't a million miles away. Fucking Mikel Antonio, no goal since August. Like, we might as well start advertising this service we're providing. You know, haven't scored a goal in 7 months. Come play against Aston Villa. We simply won't be beaten on quality of chances offered up. This season, we've got a special on crosses into the box. For every cross you put into the box, we'll give you one free header. Still not convinced. For every corner you win, we'll give you one goal mouth scramble. So don't delay. Come and play against fucking Austin McPhee and the Headless Chickens.
Yeah, and then it cuts away to a somber piece to camera from Rasmus Højlund. I used to never score goals. Cuts to Nicholas Jackson. I used to miss every chance I got. They used to call me a donkey. Then I went to Aston Villa. Yeah, Timo Werner, there's the other recommendation that we need. Well, they did get a corner, and then they got a goal. And look, this is the VAR, this is a disallowed one that would have made it 2-0. And I talked about this often, I used to hate all our boys standing in the six-yard box, watching all their free men outside the six-yard box. But now I hate this as well. I hate West Ham brought everybody into the six-yard box, and they're still running free. They're still running. Everybody's inside the six-yard box, and everybody is still free somehow. Like, Suchek's definitely just fouled someone in the process there. He's just run. Maybe Konsa just pushes him over. Martinez is getting away with a big what-the-fuck moment here. I don't know what he's doing. He's just flung himself across the air amidst all this chaos as all the bodies are running free. And then, like, the biggest question, though, is, why is Antonio celebrating? He knows how that ball went. Then he felt where it hit him. He knows it didn't hit his head. He knows it hit his hand, and he should know the rule that that's going to be ruled out. He's done everybody over there. He went away and celebrated, didn't tell one of them. By the way, lads, that might get ruled out.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny whenever Douglas Luiz scores from corners, isn't it? But when you see it from the other side, you realise it's not really praiseworthy from the attacking team at all. It's fucking grim from the defensive team. Now, I think there's been more of a global effort recently to protect goalkeepers than the giant panda. And to be fair to Martinez, he looked like a fucking big cuddly bear there. Only he was actually getting fucked, unlike his bamboo munching doppelganger. I want to see Emi Martinez doing a lot better job of clearing his 6-yard box there than that. I want to see his teammates giving him a hand as well. They were all inside our 6-yard box. We were at the edge of it. Absolutely baffling defending. But given the protected nature of goalkeepers, he probably is fouled. And given the asymmetry in the offside rule, it's definitely, or the handball rule, sorry, it's definitely not a goal. And we're definitely lucky, though, because that could have just as easily hit off his ribs, hit off his hip and gone in. And we would have had very little to complain about. And I certainly wouldn't have been donating to the World Wildlife Fund to help Emmy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Do you know the song? Giving the ball in a yard of grass. Giving the ball in a yard of grass. This is coming on to the equalising goal. Zaniolo gave him the ball and a pair of legs in front of him. I mean, this is all this man. This is all this man needs. Give him the ball and a pair of legs in front of him, and he'll show you how to score a fucking goal. And as Tielemans puts the ball into Diaby, it's lovely from Diaby. You have to say to stop and then go again. We've been missing this from this man. Just a bit of burst, a bit of injection of pace, a change of pace. And he goes back onto his right foot, plays a nice ball across, and Zaniolo, big, powerful Zaniolo, big, powerful, deft Zaniolo comes charging in ahead of everyone and pokes it so deliciously. There's two West Ham defenders flinging themselves in the way, thinking, are their legs open? I'm going to hit it here, it might go through. And if it doesn't go through their legs, it's going to go through the goalkeeper's legs and into the net. And it was glory. Another lovely equaliser from Zaniolo.
Yeah, Diaby to Zaniolo as well. I mean, anybody who questions those two boys coming off the bench needs a fucking head examined. And Diaby does. It's a brilliant ball from Tielemans. Lovely little shape on it over the top. Makes the defender want to dive in as well, and he doesn't get there. Diaby then, like, once he gets the ball, you're right, to stop and go again is magnificent. And once again, his clever little pullback to nobody in particular. But luckily, Zaniolo gambles, and he does brilliantly just to prod it in. And he can see Areola, but luckily he's more of a legs man. I mean, this lad could not make a fucking mermaid. And to be honest, the way this Areola lad flops and flaps around, he looks like a fucking reverse mermaid, a pair of legs with a big fish head on top. Has he ever caught a ball in his fucking life? He'd be better off wearing boxing gloves and goalkeeper gloves the way he fucking stands around in his box.
And then Like that was the goals over, really, but it wasn't the drama over. It all kicked off at the very end. It lasted for, was it 6 minutes, I think it went on for? Imagine me refreshing my phone over and over, thinking, like, at one stage, I thought it was just 2-1, and the goal had stood, and it kept going into injury time. It went into 90 plus 12 on livescore.com. So I was like, geez, maybe Villa are really mounting an attack. I was only refreshing to see if it would go to 2-2, and then suddenly it goes to 1-1. It was just like VAR added again, unbelievable stuff. And it's a free kick, it's a set piece. It comes in from the right hand side. Suchek might have been a foul again. I don't know. Like on Konsa, like I don't think that would have been overruled. Maybe could have given it in real time. And it's a bit of a mess. Bones lying on the ground, and he flicks it in with his arm as well. You're right. What you said about the first one, it could have been a rib, it could have been a hip, but it was his arm. And again, I'm not sure why it took so long.
Yeah, and initially, it never is a free kick. It's lazy from the Wheeze, and Kudos is good, but he falls expecting the tackle, and it doesn't really come. He just falls over behind Douglas Luiz and buys the free kick, Conan, I would say, as the... Well, I wouldn't clever. Say that commentators would, though. Yeah, very, very clever play there, the way he cheated to win that. But, you know, any cross into the six-yard box in this game, it was absolute consternation. The only place there was more chaos was inside my fucking skull. And the headlines coming out of this game were Suchek denied by VAR. Can we stop dehumanizing the video assistant referees, please? Like, it's just a lad in front of a telly sometimes applying the rules. VAR didn't deny him. A referee saw him swing his elbow at the ball after he pulled Konsa to the ground. Like he saw him swing his elbow at the ball. And if we needed any proof that this was anything other than a flawed human just trying to do his job, he saw him swing his elbow at the ball, foiling Konsa beforehand, and decided, I don't think that's allowed. Okay, can you have a look at it, Jared? Why is Jared Gilligan called over to the monitor? Maybe if it hits Bowen on the way in, he has to send the ref. I don't know. But what I do know is the first replay, you can see Suchek throw Konsa out of the way and then throw his arm at the ball. Completely unambiguous. The first replay, 5 seconds after the ball crosses the line, and we wait 5 minutes for the ref to get called to the screen. Like, why this all happened? I'm marching around the living room, waking my napping wife up and telling her I'm actually going to get physically sick. And Suchek thought he had won it. That's what your pals in the media were all writing. If Thomas Suchek thought he was winning that game of football by intentionally elbowing the ball after throwing Konsa to the ground, then Thomas Suchek shouldn't be playing this game anymore. He doesn't know there. Suchek did not think he had won it. You're slagging off fucking Mikael Antonio. Suchek knows exactly what has happened there. Oh my God, I'm so intent. The ball's moving away from the post and he moves his arms to make sure it isn't anymore.
Yeah, sorry, I think I said Jared Bowen as well. Just the how often you said Suchek there has definitely rammed it into my head now. And I think the annoying thing about this is that David Moyes, who's had 40 odd years in the professional game now as well, seems to be perplexed at this new rule that's come across his desk today for the first time, and he is surprised by it as well. I don't know why he's so angry. Pau Torres was talking to him afterwards to say, come on, it's handball. Like, there's nothing else to talk about, mate.
Yeah, he's like, you know, that's two handballs now in the last three games that have gone against us. Yeah.
All right, let's leave it there. We'll go to WhatsApp whinges. I've got a fine to give out here, and it wasn't for a John McGinn shot. It wasn't not a John McGinn shot, but this is what I call the Ollie Watkin shot, and it doesn't matter where it was from. It was almost John McGinn territory, pulled it horribly wide, so he was as off target as a John McGinn shot. But the Ollie Watkin shot is when you miss so badly and you laugh about it afterwards. I've brought this up before. I never find it funny when Ollie Watkins, and it wasn't even that big a chance, still don't like to see him laughing about the missed chances that he's given away. I think that's a week's wage is fine.
I mean, it was such a bad drag. It's probably the first shot he's had from outside the box in 2 years. So he definitely can't be expected to be doing any better than that, Conan. But Christ almighty, he couldn't have connected with it any worse either at the same time. It was fucking dreadful to see a player of that quality miss the target so badly. Mm. So you kind of have to laugh, Conan.
Yeah, it's very funny when the halftime whistle and the ball's gone away. We've lost it. The halftime whistle has gone and the scoreboard still reads West Ham 1, Aston Villa 0. Hilarious, Ollie Watkins. we also got a tweet from Racy Moo, who said on Twitter, emotion from the floor to give Matt Cash all his season's fines back after his block. Now, this is a club that already is trying to stay on the right side of financial fair play. We have fined Matt Cash a hell of a lot more than anybody, probably two seasons in a row now. I like Racy Moo's intentions, but I don't know for the sanctity of WhatsApp wages if we can go giving that much money back because he made a good block, which we are definitely going to give him his praise for later on.
Well, Aston Villa Football Club might end up making that money back, Conan, if we qualify for the Champions League. But a skin of her teeth, because it was unbelievably important and just came out of fucking nowhere. I didn't see him on the screen as he's diving in. I'd given up on it. Kudos does brilliantly on it again. Ezri Konsa gets absolutely rinsed for the first time this season, I would say. But rather than hang him out to dry, Matt Cash just comes from fucking nowhere and just absolutely puts that fire out. It was incredible, the effort and the fact that I'd given up on it. My eyes were already at fucking heaven, just praying to God that this game would just be over. Let's just move on with our season now. Let's just consolidate our Europa League position before we fall any further, before West Ham catches now, for fuck's sake. And then Matt Cash out of fucking nowhere throws his body on the line, and it was incredible, and he deserves all the praise he gets from it, and probably deserves his money back.
All right, Racy Moo. Let's just consider your motion from the floor being adjudicated on right now. It's pending. Matt Cash's fines are currently pending, and we'll see how we end up at the end of the season. We'll see what sort of state that we're in financially, if we can give him back, or if it did come in that important, if that momentum that we have now is going to be so crucial, which I think it might be. Matt Cash, you could be in for a big windfall at the end of the season. The first WhatsApp whinge. Why is Kevin Nolan dressing better than David Moyes? I mean, once again, I have to caveat it with, you know I like David Moyes. You know I am rooting for him, like I said. His tracksuit is very lackluster. It's grey. It's not a flattering fit for him, for a man of his vintage, for a man of his, not to sound like Jurgen Klopp, shape. I think he could do a lot better, even if he does want to just be a tracksuit manager. But then I look over to Kevin Nolan. It's not like he's flash, and I didn't expect him to be flash. But he's wearing a lovely big black coat, and there's nothing in the vicinity of David Moyes to bring his outfit together. I mean, Kevin Nolan is thinking about how he looks on the sideline, and he looks big, he looks imposing, he looks authoritative. David Moyes, I'm a big tracksuit wearer, but David Moyes looks like he could be, you know, putting in a bit more effort. Let's put it that way.
Conan, like, you know the annoying thing about this, other than the entire conversation? The annoying thing about this is I can just as easily hear you saying, if it was someone else you didn't like on the sideline, I don't know why I'm deciding you like Kevin Nolan, but it sounds like you do. I know you certainly like his coat.
Football man back in the day.
If I didn't just fall asleep there while you were rambling on. But I can just as easily hear you saying, like, I love that in a manager, you know. Getting out there, rolling his sleeves up, doesn't matter what age he is, sticking on the tracks, it's showing the boys how it's done. That's my kind of manager. I rep David Moyes and his tracksuit.
He doesn't have time to be thinking or worrying about what he's wearing.
I've already talked to you around it. Fucking pathetic.
Well, you know, I'm never far away from being talked around on all matters David Moyes. That's the beauty of him. That's the complex nature of David Moyes. The only other WhatsApp wins that I have is, we really shouldn't have lost 4-0 to Spurs. It's an 8-goal swing. Look, this 1 point, right, is very important. We've gained a point. We've gained a point on Spurs this weekend. We've gotten one more point than they did. They've lost 3-0 to Fulham. We've continued a bit of momentum where we've gotten it back. We've stopped a bit of a rut. We've gotten a good result, especially the way the game went as well. But that one point in the context of how far Spurs are behind us, they're only one goal behind us now. So basically that we're 3 points ahead. Doesn't matter. Like, it's still in their hands because there's only one goal. So once they win, they're ahead of us again. So we just didn't need to lose 8 goals to them. Like, we should have just stopped it somewhere. Like I said, with the how we expected to go from 2-0 to 4-0 because John McGinn got sent off. Just like that. Come on, like, everything matters now. Everything matters.
Yeah, and like, not alone does every point matter, every goal matters. It also should matter just from a point of view of pride that Timo Werner doesn't score against you. I mean, that's the real kick in the bollocks. I mean, forget about your race for the top four. Like, the fact that Timo Werner has popped up and smashed one into the side netting against you, that's the real. Where is the professional pride? That's what I want to know, Con.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with the award categories.
Good evening. I wanted to speak directly to our supporters to confirm the transfer of our captain, Jack Grealish.
And now we've been gutted, organ donors for the rich, Boston's taken our kidneys, Yankees have taken our heart.
And to explain the background to this move.
It's an unfair game.
We offered Jack a new contract to stay at the club.
Like, this is business as usual. It's not.
We agreed to incorporate a so-called release clause into his contract.
Billy, that's trouble.
Billy, if I may, he certainly has had his problems off the field.
Jack finally decided that he would like to go to City.
We're trying to solve the problem here, Billy.
Not like this, you're not even looking at the problem.
We have planned accordingly.
We got to think differently.
It was never our intention to replace Jack with one footballer.
Guys, we're still trying to replace Gianni. I told you we can't do it. We can't do it.
Our strategy was to analyze and break down Jack's key attributes.
Now, what we might be able to do is recreate him. We create him in the aggregate.
What? How well?
His creativity, his assists, his goals.
That's what we're looking for.
And to find these qualities and others in three forward players.
Three ball players.
And in doing so, have also reduced an over-dependency on one brilliant footballer.
Add that up and you get
Emiliano Buendia, Leon Bailey, and Danny Ings. They truly are the future.
If we try to play like the Yankees in here, we will lose to the Yankees out there.
I don't know what that means.
The Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award. I've got two big standouts, and it's going to take some beating. Alex Moreno and his step over in the box. What was this? What on earth happened here? The ball is rolling by him. This is for Soufal's two big chances. Alex Moreno could have just ran alongside the ball and came out of it. And he stepped over it and seemingly shocked himself as he stepped over it and turned around to see a West Ham player coming in to retrieve the ball that he's left. It wasn't flying at him. It wasn't an awkward angle. It was rolling towards him. He stepped over it, turned around, and it's in the foot of Soufal, who is now driving a shot into his heels, deflects up. Martinez makes a good save, comes back to Soufal, gets it on a volley this time, and he hits it horribly wide.
Yeah, you're right. The ball wasn't flying at him, so it was easily controlled, but it was moving fast enough that if he does dummy it, he's not getting back onto that ball for about 15 metres. So he better be fucking hoping that West Ham only have about 7 players on the pitch, because it's going to fall to one of them if you let that go. You absolute idiot. And I'm not surprised either, though, because he at no point during that move could see Soufal. Rodgers told him he was there about 3 times, and not once did Moreno listen to him. They didn't even look over his shoulder. Rodgers was pointing. By the way, Soufal's in 15 yards of space. Soufal was begging for that ball. It only came to him by accident, but it was not by accident. Apparently, Moreno wanted him to have it. That's why he dumbed it for him. But it only came to Soufal by dint of our players. He was in acres of space, that whole move. And Moreno should have been wise to it, because he was fucking told 3 or 4 times by Rodgers.
Yeah. is there any beating the Moreno one, or is Longley sticking his hand up here? This is a really bad habit that some players have. Do you remember back in the day when Dean Smith had gotten it right? There was a good balance there where the boys were trying to work it out from the back, but they realized, you know, if we're under pressure, we need to get rid of the ball. And that really helped our defense end, just that clarity of thought. Keep the ball when you can. When you can't, get rid of the ball. Don't lose the fucking ball and give them a goal. I mean, it's unbelievable that that had to be said, but it was said, it was worked on, and it helped, believe it or not. And Longley has this habit of coming forward with the ball, and when he runs out of ideas, he just stops. He just stops thinking. He stops moving. He just stands there. He does nothing. He runs out of ideas and decides to do nothing. He just stands on the ball until someone takes it off him. Like, this isn't just Longley. This has happened with Cons. Has done it in recent weeks. Longley comes forward, stands there, thinks, oh shit, there's three West Ham players around me. I won't just try and get rid of it. I won't try and pass it. I won't try and move. I'll just stand here now until I get pushed over. And now Kudos will come charging down the left. And it's just lucky that he went for goal at the near post. Really bad idea, especially against Martinez. That ball comes across. I think it was Antonio coming in. Diving header was on. Like, yeah. But like, they could have been a lot more clinical there. And it should have been 2-0.
Yeah, it is baffling. I mean, I don't want to see us having to resort to just getting rid of it. I mean, it should never happen. I mean, there should always be an option. Longley should be able to see the pass, and his teammates should definitely be making sure that he's got an option. But they should also see him slowing down. They should see that he might be in trouble. They should either then run in behind him and cover the space, or they should just run and take the ball off him. But you're right, once they don't do that, then it's on Longley to react to that and just decide, fuck this. It's a shame. I know we're a possession-based team, but we're also a team that's trying to qualify for the Champions League, and every goal counts. And seeing as we just let an 8-goal fucking swing to Spurs happen last week, maybe I should do something here and get rid of the ball. Yeah.
It's a weird thought process. Like, you know, he's worried about not doing what he's told and looking bad on the video analysis. Kick the ball away and look bad on the video analysis. Don't give a goal away and look bad on the video analysis. Either way, you're going to be talking about losing the ball. So it's better to just give the ball away rather than give a goal away.
Yeah, but like you said there at the start, like, he ran out of ideas. And you're right, he literally ran out of ideas. His brain stopped working and he couldn't think of anything to do, and he just shut down and lost the ball. There was another one as well that should be nominated. It was Martinez to Suchek. And luckily enough, it was to Suchek's feet as opposed to his hands, because he doesn't really get it under control. And Tielemans punishes the bad touch. And then I think it comes to Douglas Luiz. He gets himself nominated for the Paul Merson. Oh, that's just filthy award. Nutmegs, whoever dives in on him. But Martinez kicking the ball straight to a West Ham attacker at the edge of the box as well. Dreadful.
Yeah. Well, what do you think was worse, Moreno's or Longley's?
I think Moreno's was worse. I think Moreno's worse because it led immediately to a shot. Immediately to a shot. Like, he dummied the ball in the box. He didn't know the lad where he was essentially marking for most of the game. He didn't know where he was. Mad.
Yeah. No, I agree. I completely agree. Moreno was the winner of the What the Fuck Award. Let's do the Ronnie Rosenthal Award. We got a tweet from AVFC Stato who said, and I think he's right. He said, Cash needed to shoot them, but he's been clearly listening to you two moaning at him for having too many shots.
Yeah, you might want to stop the recording for a second there, Conan, because I don't know if I want this one out there. Matt Cash has to shoot in that position.
So hang on, we're sending one podcast. Matt Cash doesn't deserve any fines for the whole season, and Matt Cash has to shoot.
Yeah, I didn't say he didn't deserve any fines for the whole season. I said that we should repay him the money. I'm sure next week I'll be whinging at him to whenever he does finally shoot, that he pays back all the money that we gave him last week. But the annoying thing about this is, like, Bailey does absolutely brilliant to get his leg up and knock it around Emerson as well, and gets himself a nomination for the Paul Merson. That was just filthy award in the process. Yeah. And it's a lovely first-time pass from Tielemans as well. And the touch from Cash bursting through at that speed was absolutely incredible. And I didn't think Matt Cash was the type of person who lies in bed at night hearing your voice saying, "He has to stop fucking shooting. What the hell? Who does my cash for? Agricultural cash?" I didn't think he was that type of person. I thought he seemed a bit more confident, a bit more relaxed, a bit more comfortable in his own skin. I didn't think that's the type of person he was, but apparently I was wrong, Connor.
Let's do the other nominations. Ollie Watkins had one, or first one, really. Just, it wasn't that big a chance. He's gone for the near post. Well, you know what, in fairness, considering the keeper he's gone up against, it almost went into the near post. It was flicked away. It was just good to see the vertical passing again. It's like bang, bang, and then suddenly it's to Bailey. And we know there's going to be a chance created here. Bailey comes inside and pulls it back the other way. Watkins goes on the run and has a strike.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely from Bailey as well. The carry and then the hidden pass, which has just come into his game this season, is gorgeous. And then Watkins nearly makes a tit of Areola at the near post, but not quite.
Rodgers, that's not a big chance, but again, just some nice passing, Douglas Luiz, Tielemans, and then forward. See, the thing I like about Rodgers playing there, especially with two up top, we'll come back to that, but he's drifting inside, and he was doing it anyway when there's only one up top, but he's coming into the number 10 position, and Moreno's coming up to make up for it, and he's just finding those little spaces in behind that Ramsey finds, and I think it was Tielemans that played a forward team, and he just turns and runs, and he should do better with a shot. We saw, I think I was forecasting that he was going to have one of those dipped efforts come in under the crossbar at one stage, but this one was just never got off the ground. It wasn't even a daisy cutter, it was a very tame shot in the end.
Yeah, it was playing in Ramsey's position and doing a very good impression of Ramsey this season, yeah. Both in the eagerness to drive through on goal as well, but he doesn't really get the ball out of his feet, and maybe that's because about 5 minutes before that he picked the ball up on the halfway line and went tearing through the middle of the pitch at some speed. I mean, it could only have been more impressive if he brought the fucking ball with him. He just ran away from the ball, left it under his feet. And this time then he was afraid to get the ball out of his feet too much, and there's absolutely no power in the shot.
Somebody actually sent us a tweet about Morgan Rodgers. I'm just going to find it here. It was Baz on Twitter. He said, "When Rodgers dribbles, it looks like it's with a flat ball. It just stops dead." I think that's sort of perfectly what you're describing there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think sometimes as well, Morgan Rodgers has this kind of, for someone who is fast, he's got this kind of languid style as well. And it is very similar to Jacob Ramsey. Sometimes it looks like he isn't just going quick enough. He isn't just bursting into the space that he can get into, or he's bursting into to block the cross or block somebody who's running past him. It just, the way he carries himself, it looks like he's moving too slow, or slower than he needs to be, slower than he can as well.
Mm. Three West Ham chances. Paqueta had one deflected wide off his own player. Came from a cross as well, obviously. And then the Soufal double save, or the save, and then the volley wide from the Moreno. What the fuck? And then Paqueta again from a free kick. Decent save from Emi Martinez.
Yeah, that was a good save. There's another Paqueta one as well. It was just Rodgers probably nominating himself for the What the Fuck award, where he tries to play a 1-2 with Pau Torres out in the side, the edge of the box. From his head as well. This was during an all hands on deck situation. Like, I mean, Rodgers' job in this situation was to accept that we're going to lose possession yet again. He had to volley that up the pitch, and he tries to head it back down to Pau Torres' feet. Gets intercepted to cross the ball into the box. Free header, obviously. And just floats over the top of the crossbar. Dreadful, dreadful. Defender. He's about 6 yards of space to the front post.
Yeah. So we move Ezri Konsa into centre-back, and that's when Ezri Konsa gets all his chances in, because he likes to drive forward from centre-back, and he gets a big chance. It's on his left foot, unfortunately, but it draws a punched save, a parried save from the goalkeeper. Like, you've already nominated Douglas Luiz, you've already nominated Leon Bailey for the Paul Merson, that was just filthy award, but Leon Bailey on kudos this time. I mean, everybody thinks they're a gangster until a real gangster walks into the room, and if kudos thinks that he's got it, Leon Bailey, I mean, it's not even the same equipment that he's working with. This guy's just on a different planet. And like, he puts him on his arse and he goes down there. He's on the sideline again. And Like, this is, I said it last week, I said he goes left and right at the same time. He does. Like, Kudos doesn't know. Like, it's like, wait, there's three of them, which one should I go for? The one in the middle? He's not in the middle anymore. He's away to the right. He's no longer in the middle. He's never in the middle. Like you say, Leon Bailey will fill the void in behind you. Like, that is the laws of physics. And Kudos doesn't know what to do, but fall over, and Bailey goes away down the right. And just, like, the amount of time he creates for himself. I mean, he's only about 30 yards out, and then suddenly he's just standing at the edge, like at the side of the box, like getting to pick out whoever he wants now with nobody to defend him, because he's just run by their last line of defense. And now he gets to stand with all the freedom in the world to just pass the ball inside. And I think, was it Cash? I guess Aniolo actually maybe coming in, and he just doesn't catch it, and it comes to Konsa. And he doesn't catch it at all, really. It's just a tame enough effort at the keeper.
Yeah, Leon Bailey this season is absolutely remarkable. Like, never mind just the numbers and how he's playing in general. If you're watching it, it's the excitement that he causes for everybody once he gets the ball. Once Leon Bailey picks up the ball, I pick myself up off my seat. I think something's going to happen. Every time he gets the ball now, I'm expecting Aston Villa to create a chance of some sort of note. Maybe we'll just win a corner, but something's going to happen now that Leon Bailey gets the ball. And there's so many times he's just on the right. Just play it to Bailey. Just give it to Bailey. Just please make my day. Give it to Bailey. This will be it. And it's absolutely brilliant from him in the lead up to this. You're right. And there's a brilliant cross as well. I mean, I initially thought he scuffed it on his stronger right foot. I thought it was strange. Mm-hmm. But it's actually just a brilliant pass to Zaniolo coming flying in. Big Ezri certainly does fucking scuff it when it comes to him.
Yeah.
Like a great composure to set himself and get it down. But maybe he's just thinking, I'll just get this on target because Areola's in goals and that'll give me a chance. The one before that as well, like, speaking about Areola being a tit, there was one, like, Tielemans had a shot. It looked like he crossed the ball into Areola. And Areola's doing a fucking impression of a drunk Jordan Pickford and comes out and punches the ball. Like, there was no power at all in Tielemans' cross. It's like he's floated it back to him. It's like he's just like, all right, sorry, it's a goal kick. Here you go. And ships it back into Areola. And Areola comes flying across, flying out off his line to punch it back into play. Baffling human being.
But I think the winner of the Rosenthal Award is James Ward-Prowse. And if Ronnie Rosenthal had an open net and it was a crossbar that undid him, you have to say James Ward-Prowse might not have had an open net, but Matt Cash undid a sure goal. We've been giving him the praise, but this was brilliant. And it was the Kudos pullback. He got past Konsa, pulls it back. And every time, how often have we seen it? That slow motion, the ball's been pulled back, and just the inevitability, the sinking feeling when you see a West Ham player coming onto the pullback and nobody in the vicinity to block it, to read it. Matt Cash read it, and I don't know how he got himself into his line of shot, and he got out that quickly, and he just got his balls, everything in the way, just threw himself in front of James Ward-Prowse. Like, Ward-Prowse was so shocked because he was wanting to reel away after he connected with the ball, and Cash was there to block it like a real hero. It's like, it's not Rosenthal-esque level miss from Ward-Prowse, but it, in terms of us expecting that to be a goal in the 92nd minute, it was up there. Like, it felt like that's a goal, and Matt Cash is the one who says, maybe it's not Ward-Prowse winning this award, maybe it's just a lifetime mention for Matt Cash for I don't know, being the crossbar in the Ronnie Rosenthal Award.
Yeah, like, and to be fair to him, you're right, he came out of absolutely nowhere, and I know I said that myself earlier as well, but he was actually moving so fast. I didn't know who it was initially because the ball gets moved back out the field, and I was like, who was that? Where the fuck did he come from? I didn't know which Aston Villa player I was about to praise. I didn't know which Aston Villa. I didn't know I was about to have to give back millions of euros in wages from Matt Cash. I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't know you were going to offer him a lifetime achievement award. I didn't know that's how the day was going to go, Conan. But it was Matt Cash.
It was Matt Cash, the crossbar Matt Cash. You like Glenn Whelan taking a 90th minute penalty award, or is it the Tim Sherwood we play two number 10s and bamboozled them award? Because I want to talk about, well, one thing we do need to talk about is definitely the Glenn Whelan award first is the short worked corner. It's always worth mentioning. Anytime we're working a corner to get Youri Tielemans a shot from 25 yards out, on the right hand side, on his right foot, a floating shot into the goalkeeper, that's not the best use of a corner. And that was the routine. That was the routine. So it needs to be highlighted. But what I want to talk about is the two up top. Because like I said, I think when we saw the team sheet, let's be real, everybody was excited. It was like, yeah, let's just do it. Let's just do it for the crack. This will be good. And I like the shape. I like the two up top. It gives them some more to think about. We probably knew what West Ham were going to offer into the match. I think from previous text messages to the game, you were a bit worried about the possession that we'd have. But we had plenty of possession. And we had a nice shape because Rodgers came inside, Tielemans and Douglas Luiz controlled it, Moreno pushed forward, and because we played Konsa, we could have the sort of three then tucking a bit more centrally. I thought it was a nice shape, but the problem is, and the reason why I'm asking, is it a Glenn Whelan Award nomination? Watkins and Duran just doesn't really work, does it? As much as we want it to work, as much as it feels like it should, it just doesn't. I don't know what it is Watkins needs alongside him. I saw it was Alan Shearer saying it. Kane and Watkins have never played on the same pitch together for England, and he said suggesting that they should just because of how good they both are. But it's like, I don't even know if that would work. Kane's obviously really good at playing with other people, but so is Watkins. Maybe they both just need to be in the middle playing with other people in other positions.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's trying to do, and or that's exactly what he needs. Before the game, though, whenever I saw the team sheet, I was thinking, is he trying to out David Moyes? David Moyes here? Like, what the fuck is he doing? But also, I was just going, like, that is the most attacking team I have seen on a football pitch. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, was it Nagelsmann played Havertz at left back one time for Germany? I was like, what is going on? It was that level of bafflement. He had Rodgers on the left side of a flat four, Tielemans as a holding midfielder, and Leon Bailey on the other wing. Absolutely insane stuff. And like anyone who wants to tell me that Alex Moreno is a fullback and go fuck themselves, because we all know he's a winger as well. Absolutely ridiculous. And you're right, I was worried about the level of possession we had, but that's because Unai Emery wasn't trying to outdo David Moyes. He just knew he was playing against David Moyes. It's like, why would I waste my time playing extra midfielders in this game? Yeah. Let's just let the fucking boys play. Get them all on and get them all on up fucking top. Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a shame. I don't know, like, Duran's obviously really exciting. I think we've made this comparison before. He's our sort of Darwin Nunes, that it's just chaos when he plays, and that's exciting. It's messy when he plays, and that's exciting. And I was, because of his goal the last day, because of the impact he had against Ajax, it was like, yeah, let's just give him a chance now. And basically, he knows as well, like, I need to perform here. There's always something nice about that. I need to perform here, or I'm not going to get another chance. I'm just going to go back to the same way. And I was sort of thinking, oh, this might work. And then it just does. They don't really play together. I'm not saying that they hate each other. it just doesn't work. It's just like they're just taking turns, really, at being involved in the game.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work. They don't have a connection with each other. They both want to do the same thing. They both want to make the same runs. And to be fair, I was really encouraged initially after Watkins had that one where he's trying to catch the goalkeeper out at the front post. Duran, not that I suspect that Duran was a cunt, although I had my suspicions. He did come over and high five Watkins, even though he was, free in the 6-yard box, and Watkins has tried a really audacious attempt at the front post. He didn't seem too perturbed by it. He came over, he gave him a high five. I thought that'd be exactly the type of thing that Duran would be giving out about, but no, they just want to do the same thing, and maybe that's all it was. Duran knew exactly what he would do in that position, and it wasn't past the ball.
Yeah, or maybe the high five was like, don't do that again, mate. Cheers. Let's do the Weimann meter before we wrap up. Matt Cash is going up, isn't he?
Well, his bank balance is going up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, any day he's not getting fined, he's probably going up. Any day he's getting all his week wage fines back, he's not going up. And any time he saves a sure point with an amazing block, he's definitely going up. This was very much a heroic, a Weimann meter performance from Matt Cash.
Absolutely.
And then I want to say Pau Torres, for some reason, just under the radar, Pau Torres, just for being back involved in the ball and controlling the game. Maybe it's the West Ham factor. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but I don't know. It was good to see him back. And you know what? Every time I go through goals and I'm looking for somebody to blame and chances, I didn't feel like I was looking at Pau Torres a lot this time.
Jesus, Pau Torres was hard to miss for that first goal, Con. The fact that he jumped out of the line by about 5 meters to try and get in the way of Stufall's cross. I mean, and like I said, maybe that was the right decision. He could see that Ben was on to the back post. Maybe he had a look to see that Antonio was never going to get himself offside. But I still thought it looked bizarre.
Yeah. Okay, so you've vetoed Pau Torres.
I think Pau Torres is a good enough footballer that he doesn't have to go up based on that performance, Con. He'll be here again.
Does Youri Tielemans go up? I want to put Youri Tielemans up this time because, I mean, Guillaume McGinn was gone. We definitely missed him. And, you know, Kamara's obviously gone. We sort of knew this was going to happen. I'd said I wasn't too keen on Tim coming in to start. Tielemans went in there and we did really well. Again, maybe it's a West Ham factor, but again, I think he'll have this opportunity to play this way at Villa Park and after the international break. I want to put Youri Tielemans up, especially for his involvement in the first goal as well.
Yeah, his involvement for his goal was brilliant. It was great that he just dropped in there and we had 70% possession against a three-man midfield, only playing two of them. But Youri Tielemans absolutely has not gone up in the Weimann meter. He's actually going down for his trip on Kudos. I mean, Kudos was started a counter-attack 70 yards out from our goal and Tielemans pulled out of pulling him back on the halfway line, had his hands on his shoulder, then fought better of it, and then followed him to the edge of the box and pulled him back. Like, he might as well have pulled him off. He was treating him so well. I don't know what he was playing. If you're going to foul him on the halfway line, Youri. What the fuck are you playing at?
I've got a question. Is Leon Bailey in the Jack Grealish category now, where he's too good to be included on the Weimann meter?
Let's see if Leon Bailey can lead us to Europe, then yes, the same way Jack Grealish led us to stay in the Premier League in those last couple of weeks of that season. I mean, I think Leon Bailey needs an iconic moment like that. Jack Grealish was so central to us getting promoted and staying up. Leon Bailey needs to do something at his level, which is qualifying for the Champions League. Not that I'm saying Jack Grealish's level is, you know, avoiding relegation, but that's the way his career has turned out.
All right, enough foreplay. Going up, Nicolò Zaniolo. Big Nicolò is going up. I mean, he gets 63 minutes this time. It was pretty early on for a substitute for him to come on. And he was putting himself about, even got a yellow card, but he got his yellow card after scoring a goal as well, which I'm happy about. I mean, Nicolò Zaniolo's yellow card didn't upset me this time, so even just for that, he has to go up.
Yeah, Nicolò Zaniolo definitely should go up. He had an amazing performance. Jared Gillett should obviously go down for not sending Zaniolo off whenever he threw the ball away. What the fuck was that about? And we might come back to Jared Gillett whenever we go back on the people who are moving down, but Jesus Christ, Nicolò Zaniolo had his best performance in a long, long time for Aston Villa, and so decisive as well. And it was a lovely finish.
Another important assist from Moussa Diaby. He has to go up. He came on half-time this time as well. Yeah, I'm putting him up.
Yeah, well, like Moussa Diaby sub changed the game back in our favour because the first 30 minutes of the game, West Ham didn't really have the ball. Then they had a few chances, got into a few positions. We kind of looked like we ran out of steam a little bit. West Ham got the goal. We weren't really that good. We didn't strangle it. We didn't get the game back into our control. Second half starts. Aston Villa are an entirely different team, and Moussa Diaby was on the pitch for that as well. Gave us a better shape, got on the ball, went and demanded it. A couple of times he went and demanded it far too deep a position. I'd rather see him staying a bit higher up the pitch. But no, and a lovely assist as well, because it's such a good run, good touch. And like you say, he's one-on-one with the defender. That's exactly what you want to see a player in Moussa Diaby's quality do, is just go past him. Just go past him and play the ball to Nicolò Zaniolo.
We should get wristbands made for the team. What would Bailey do? yeah, let's do going down. Yeah, like, well, Jared Gillett's obviously going down, right?
Well, Jared Gillett's definitely going down because he was falling for fucking everything during that game. He's going to need a fucking ounce of Savlon for his kneecaps. It was like he was being given out to for applying the let it flow directive a bit too liberally. So he's going completely in the opposite direction. I don't think that quite gets there actually either. But he was so inconsistent in his application of the rules, like. Whatever he thought the criteria was, what sport was he reffing, to be honest? Like, I'm not really sure. Like, I would nearly think he was just guessing at times, But you would think with the laws of probability, we get one decision right when he was doing that. Like, kudos threw an elbow back at Douglas Luiz. I don't know, Douglas Luiz, you know, puts his arms down and say, what are you doing? But he comes over and books the two of them. I expect that from a GAA Junior B referee, not from a fucking Premier League. He goes over and books the two of them. He's like, let's get on with it, lads. We're all going back for our Sunday roast here. Not like cut out the crap. What the fuck was he playing at? And the handball decision. I mean, I think if we're being fair, all right, I think if Bowen sees a little dink is on to Soufal, who has wandered into the 6-yard box unmarked like Konsa was, and the ball comes off Moreno's outstretched arm and a penalty is given, I think we all know we're going to be complaining. Complaining about our fullback standing in the box doing an impression of fucking Christopher Columbus. Like, pointing the way for the ball to be played through our defence. Discovering new ways to defend like a fucking moron. Mapping uncharted territory in the world of being a fucking idiot. I mean, if it was Bruno Fernandes flicking the ball through, it's definitely going to be given as a penalty. Like, he probably would have dived and held his ankle to try and win it as well, but that's neither here nor there. But, like, I've seen penalties given for that all fucking season, and that is the frustrating thing. It's the inconsistency. You're not allowed to have your hand out, and if you do, you're asking for trouble, unless Jared Gillett is the referee. Like, you're still asking for trouble, but you'll be given a different answer every fucking week or every passing minute if Jared Gillett's the referee.
Do you remember the Chelsea sending off from earlier in the season? And like, I tweeted it back in a few weeks ago. They had the Howard Webb, I couldn't remember his name, was in with Michael Owen, and he was doing the audio from the VAR. And the referee, mics were up and stuff like that. And the tackle comes in, and it's horrific. We all saw it back. It gets straight red. But as the tackle comes in, Jared Gillett, who can't see it, just goes, tackle's fine. And the commotion from both the fourth official and the linesman, they're not even getting their words out. It's just, oh, no, what was it? And the linesman's flag is waving because he's just seen studs wrap around someone's shin at full force. And like, Jared Gillett's first response, rather than just say nothing, rather than even just say, gonna leave it, just tackle's fine. Like, why did he say that? He obviously couldn't see it. He obviously didn't see it. Why did he say it is the question.
Yeah, he's like I said, he's guessing. That's what I think he's doing. He's just guessing. He's just trying to get through the day, trying to seem like he's authoritative by just guessing what has happened, and hopefully he'll be right. Unfortunately for him, he never fucking is. Unfortunately for him. Unfortunately for everybody involved in the fucking games he's refereeing, he never is.
Unfortunately for all those who wanted to ship him over from Australia and give him his big break in English football.
All the members of this podcast that were calling for Jared Gillett to be brought over.
Anybody else that you have going down?
No, I don't think so. I think at the time yesterday, I mean, it might have been a different podcast if we were recording it yesterday. I think I was a lot more annoyed. I was certainly a lot more annoyed whenever the ball crossed the line from Suchek's throwing an elbow at it, and it was taking so long to make the decision, prancing around the room going, they're going to find a reason to give this, they're going to give it, they're going to fucking, they're idiots. Wake up, they're idiots.
The only thing now to do is to brace yourselves, right? We've got an international break. We're back on the 30th of March. We've got three games in 1 week. And so we've got Wolves at home on the 5:30 kickoff on the Saturday. We've got Man City away on the Wednesday night. And then we've got Brentford at home at 3:00 on the Saturday, right? So that sounds nice. You're thinking, okay, I fancy a bit of that. I fancy Wolves. I know we never do. But you know, on paper, you're still thinking Wolves at home, Brentford at home. Let's give Man City a lash. That's not three bad games, actually. And we're still in fourth. But in that same period, in that same week, Spurs have Luton at home, West Ham away, and we know how bad they are, and Forest at home, right? But if we can hang tight, if we can hang tight through those three games, like that's appealing game for Spurs there. I can't see them dropping any points against Luton or Forest, but then that's into their run then of four matches against Newcastle, against City, against Arsenal, against Liverpool. And I know we'll still have to play Arsenal and Liverpool as well, but if we can hang tight through those three games, I mean, we'll be closer and closer, and then it should get a bit more interesting then from there on. And like, it's a huge week after the international break, and it's really all they play for. I mean, the winner of the John Gregory, if I had a gun, I would have shot him award, is Unai Emery. His quote, and I am quoting him here directly, "We're currently fourth." And we are, and we are.
Yeah, and Kian, you're asking if we can just hang tight during the during this next week that's coming up. I'll be surprised I'm still watching football. Don't forget I have to go watch Ireland play two games at the Aviva. Fuck's sake, I don't know if I'll be definitely doing the podcast after this. I don't know if I'll still be watching football after this week coming up with John O'Shea in charge of Ireland. But
Glenn Whelan, yeah, Ireland.
What you're forgetting is the annoying thing about Spurs beating us 4-0 wasn't just the 4-0 loss. It was how timid we were and the fact that we lost 4-0 to a team that aren't exactly fucking brilliant, as proven by the fact they lost their next game 3-0. I don't know why you're certain that Spurs are going to get three victories from those three results. They just got their fucking asses handed to them by Fulham.
Yeah, but Fulham have been handing everybody's asses to them apart from us. I mean, we owe Fulham a debt of gratitude. I mean, whenever we're giving Matt Cash back, just take that back. Matt Cash doesn't deserve it. Let's get real and give it to Fulham. Okay, let's leave it there. We're going to see you after the international break on Saturday, the 30th of March. Have a really good one. Have a good week and get in touch with us. Share the podcast on if you get the chance. Thanks a million for listening and we'll chat to you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.